Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 2, stanzas 2 through 5. Blessed is he who makes the statutes of the Lord his chief delight. In God's law, divinely perfect, meditating day and night. 2 through 5 of Psalter 2.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of the 15th chapter, the first 16 verses. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Thus far.
Lord of heaven, Lord of the earth, the creator of the universe, and the redeemer of thy people, and we may be gathered in this evening, a third time in this day, and then thou knowest all that has taken place in this day, also under the visible preaching, that thou dost command us, and from ourselves it remains but a carnal commandment, unless thou will come in with it. And we do not have the power from our side to give unto ourselves or unto others anything. That is all a gift of thee, and it is so undeserved from our side, and there is from our side so much lack, a lack of love, a lack of desire, a lack of spirituality, a lack of keeping thy commandments. All from our side, Lord, then thou canst expect nothing. And thou didst not put thy trust in a man. O Lord, we beseech thee once again that thou wouldst give everything that we need, because from our side it is emptiness. but from thy side it is fullness. And thou art a surprising God unto thy poor people. And thou knowest the place where that they do dwell, that thou may look them up in this night. For it can be in a way of discouragement, and that they enter into thy house of prayer. O Lord, that thou may deal with them in thy love, as we have heard it out of thy holy word. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Oh, if we could but see a little into the fountain of that love, then our hearts would melt, and then we would be brought in the dust of self-abasement once again before thee. Our eyes are so closed, unless thou wilt open them for the first or by renewal. Oh, that thou would shed forth a little of that love in the midst of us in this evening hour, and that those that are not strangers of thee may taste a little of it, but that there may also be those who have never known thee, who may have a little of that love shed abroad in their hearts in this evening hour. Oh, does it not begin, O Lord, with thy love? For thou sayest that we have not loved thee, but that thou hast loved us. Oh, then it all begins at that eternal fountain, and that is the hope also of those, and that do a desire even in an outward way, and that do look upon it all in this day, and with a cry in their heart, and do say, Lord, remember me, and with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And Lord, thou knowest the place of each one of them. Oh, then it is in an outward way a good desire. May it be a desire that comes out of that fountain, and that thou wouldst bless it, and that thou would bless the means and that are used. And when thy word is brought, and when there is a desire to come under it, and to read it day by day, and to bow the knees before thee, and to beseech thee that thou wouldest do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. O Lord, thou art at the right hand of power. Thou canst command, and then it is done immediately. And before that we know, then thy Spirit is already sent out. O, could it be also in this evening hour that thou would send him forth from heaven, thy dwelling place, that he may be given to dwell among us in this evening, and that there may be a little word from heaven that has to enter into a heart and that is prepared by thee, that thou may look upon all of us, for we all need the same thing. And being by nature dead in sins and in trespasses, and after received grace with a deadness of heart, unless thou wilt revive it, oh, that thou wilt do so in this evening, care for thy people. And thou dost say, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, that is the desire of thy people. But Lord, they cannot keep thy commandments. For it is above all their strength, and we are in ourselves nothing but weakness, or we are in ourselves nothing but a lump of sin. Thou knowest it, Lord. It is all so vain within, and it is all from thee that we must become different, and that by renewal also. Oh, take us then by heart and by hand, and do lead us into all thy truth, that the love of thee may draw us, and that we may be brought by renewal to thy footstool in that blessed need, and that thou wouldst seal unto us also that blessed promise, and that it may be for us in a personal way, or that we may be given to know, and that thou art our God, and that we are thy children, and that thou may give that blessed assurance unto those who desire to know that they do not stand anymore for their own account. For this life goes quickly by, and we come closer and closer to the time that we must appear before thee. And much can take place in our life, but we cannot die with it. Oh, that thou may visit thy people, and that thou may give a further knowledge of thee, and that they may come to know not only thy grace, and not only who thou art in thy works, but that we may know thee also in thy blessed person. Oh, that thou mayest come, and that thou mayest reveal thyself again, that thou would give application of thy holy word, and that we may indeed, as we have heard out of thy word, know that we are thy friend. O Lord, thou knowest all the fears that can come in the life of thy children. Then the devil is busy always, and that thou mayest be on their right and on their left. Do supply this evening for those that are not able to be here. Care for those that do listen in their own homes. Bless us undeservedly, forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 28, 1 through 5. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. 1 through 5 of Psalter 28. beloved congregation, it is a service of reflection. Do you reflect? Because there is so little reflection in our days. What does it mean to reflect? That means to meditate. It means to consider. And we are all so busy. What is now necessary for us that we would reflect? Does the Lord need to bring us upon a sickbed? Or will we not reflect until we come upon our deathbed? It is always a very solemn division that is coming in the midst of the congregation when the Holy Supper of the Lord is administered in our midst. It is never a perfect separation that is coming. It is coming very soon. How soon do we believe that it is coming? Because life that goes by us very, very quickly. And if we never reflect in the days of in the day of grace, then we certainly will reflect in eternity. Then we will have a long time for reflection. The words of our text for this reflection service can be found in the portion that was read, John 15, and thereof the first two verses. John 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So far the words of our text, the husbandman and his vine. First, his relation to the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And second, his care of that vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The husbandman and his vine. First, his relation to the vine. And second, his care of the vine. Our text congregation speaks about a relation. Is that important? That is very, very important, because the Lord has not created us all alone, just as individuals, but the Lord has created us in a society, and the Lord has made us in a family. And in that society, then, we have responsibilities, that is, from relations, and from those relations, we also receive many benefits. Satan destroys relations. He destroys relations between husbands and wives, and between parents and children, and between men and authorities, even between God and man. Only go back to paradise. Are we glad, boys and girls, that we have a father? That we have a mother? That we have brothers and sisters, perhaps? That we might have children, that we have a husband, that we have a wife? Are we glad with relations? Or do we think only about ourselves? And then we have also a relation with God, everyone. What is our relation with God? You say he is our creator. That is right. He has made us. He is also our provider. Faithful in that. We heard that. And we, Do we think about that relation? That we owe everything back unto Him? Does it grieve us? That there is a relation there actually of wrath. Wrath. Thus we lie under wrath, and at the same time, the long suffering of the Lord, permitting Him to provide for His creatures here upon this world. What is that, the relation that is spoken of here in our text? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Then we hear of relation between the Father and the Son and His church. Are we included in that relation? Or do we stand now on the outside of this relation? What does that now mean to us? Where we stand in this relation. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So we read actually of two relations. We read about my Father. Thus we read about the relation between a father and a son. But the Lord Jesus is here actually introducing the relation here between a vine and the husbandman. So every similitude that we read in the Word of God is to be for our instruction, that is, for the knowledge of Him, because we are so ignorant of Him. Do you feel that? We have lost the knowledge of God. Does that grieve us, that we do not know Him anymore, created in that knowledge, and now that whole Word of God, young people, from the beginning to the end, that is to teach us again. To teach us again who that God is. Do you ever go on your knees and say, "Oh Lord, I do not understand Thy Word. Who art Thou? And what is now that relation between me and Thee?" Thus He gives the knowledge of Himself in His Word. And then so many things, because there are many attributes of God, and so we have the knowledge of Him, who He is in and of Himself, that He is omniscient, that He is omnipresent, and so on. So the knowledge of God as He is. But here now He reveals the relation between His Son and His church. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Is that now not a wonder that he reveals the relation between Himself and His people? Thus, my Father is the husband. What does that mean? Then Christ says, I have been planted by my Father. Just like a vine is planted by that husbandman in that vineyard, He says, so I have been planted by my Father. I did not plant myself. No, my Father has planted me just like a vine. Thus, as a divine being, then where does Christ get His being? I say He is God. How can we know that? Well, we know that from the Word of God. In the Word of God, it says He is begotten. What does that mean? Well, we don't know so much about that, do we? We can only read that in the Word of God. That is what the Lord says, that He is begotten of His Father. The Son is begotten of the Father. And so His essence, His being that is flowing out, as it were, of His Father in a way that is not understood, that is incomprehensible to us as finite and finite creatures. But He is compared here to a vine that is not in his being now, but that is about his official work. The office that he has been given by his Father, so not his being now, but the work that he has been given to do by his Father, that is specifically, he says, given unto me, compared to a husbandman. So that husbandman considers and he decides to plant a vineyard. And that vineyard that is going to be for what? For his profit. That is going to be for his, for his pleasure. And that husbandman, he needs to make a choice of the vine. Thus, from all the vines, he has to choose a vine. Which vine that he is going to place in this vineyard. And then he says, my Father has chosen me. He has chosen me because out of that vine is going to proceed all the pleasure of the Father. And so Christ says, out of me, my Father has chosen me, that out of me he may receive pleasure. Is that strange? If we had to choose fathers and mothers, then we have children. You say, well, if we will choose our children, we like to see, we like to enjoy the fruits, as it were, there, the images of ourselves. And then we like to see those fruits there coming forth of our children. But our children are sometimes a disappointment to us, are they not? Are you a disappointment, boys and girls, young people? Are you a disappointment to your father? Are you a disappointment unto your mother? That is a very sad thing. Who have borne you in this world and who continue to care for you. Christ was not a disappointment to his Father. No, he was a delight unto his Father. He was a vine that was chosen by his Father, that he may give his Father that pleasure that is due unto his Father. And his Father has chosen him because he was a choice vine. That was a vine that could not fail to bring him pleasure. And now that vine that has to be planted, and that vine that was planted, we know, in the time, that vine that was planted in the soil of the earth. And when the Father has given to him a body, and he was planted in this world, and when he humbled himself, and he was willing to take a place of great humility in this world. And there that husbandman, his Father, has also tended that vine. He has taken care of that vine. The Lord Jesus has said that himself. He says, he that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. Thus, with Christ, his whole life, there was an upholder, that he may be strengthened to do the work that was not possible for the human nature to do, except that it was upheld by that human nature. Thus, the Father gave qualities, qualified the Son to support him in all his sufferings, as the Father had promised his Son that he was going to do. He watched over him all the providences that were necessary from the days of his youth, that the Father has faithfully upheld him also in the most difficult sufferings of the soul and of the body in his passion. Thus I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. But there is more, because we read further here about branches of this vine. That is what we read. He says, I am the vine, in verse 5, ye are the branches. Thus we have another relation. That is now the relation not between the Father and the Son, but it is now the relation between the Son and the church, Christ and his church. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Thus he says, the branches, they are growing out of that vine. And that those branches are united unto that vine. The branch is not able to exist on the outside of that vine because it receives all its nourishment. The sap that is running from that stalk unto and through the branches in order that they may live. So he says, because I live, ye shall live also. That is the experience of the true church. That it is necessary for all life to come from him. Because when he will give it once, or he will uphold it always, but then they feel that they are in themselves deadness. And they cannot revive anything. There is nothing that they can give unto themselves. Oh, they would so often. And when looking back, when reflecting, and they look upon times wherein there was so much desire and so much zeal and so much love. And, oh, then they say sometimes, where did it all go? I think there is nothing left. And yet it is left. It is left because that remembrance that is bringing forth in them desire. Desire. That they may receive it again. Thus there is the root. The root. The fountain, as it were, out of which everything has to come for that people. So outside of him, there is no life. Outside of him, there is no fruitfulness. Without me, he says, ye can do nothing. And thus, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So what does that mean? If he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, now we have a relation between Christ and the church. And now he says, well, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So there we have the relation between Christ and his Father. And thus we have, when we place them together, we have a relation between the Father and his church. Between the Father and his church. And how does that relation go? That is not simply between the Father and the church, but it is through that vine. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This Christ, he's standing in the middle between his Father and his people. And then he speaks of that relation between the Father and his church. Yeah, did we not already speak about a relation between God and his creation? And what was that relation? We said that was a relation that has been broken. It is a relation wherein there is wrath. do you ever feel that? That you cannot stand before Him? The guilt when you read the commandments of the Lord, and when there is a little bit of reflection in your soul, that you say there can be nothing but anger, there can be nothing but wrath against me from the Lord. And now Christ speaks about a new relation, a relation between the Father and His church that is through Himself as the true vine, in whom are the branches, and His Father is the husband. What a great change. What a great change in the relation between God and His people. Then there is no more wrath. There is just the opposite. There is a great care, he says, of the Father now for His church. Why? Because of that union wherein Christ is standing in between. And we see that in our second thought. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, more distinctions. The preaching of the Lord Jesus was always full of distinctions between one thing and another, so that these things, they are not confused with one another. So very clear always in his doctrine and in his discernment. What does he distinguish here? Well, he says that there are branches, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, and then he speaks about every branch in me that beareth fruit. He calls them all branches in me. Many branches in me, but those branches in me are not all the same. Thus, when he says in me, then he speaks about the visible church. And he is distinguishing that visible church from the invisible church. Do you do that too? Do you distinguish the visible church from the invisible church? Or do we make an assumption that we are in the visible church, that we are in the invisible church? The Lord Jesus did not do that. No, he says those two things have to be distinguished. They are related because he says they are all branches in me. But he says there are many branches in me, in that visible church, professing my name, that are not truly mine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. He does not say every branch in me that has no leaves. No, he says there are many branches in me that have leaves, that have a show of profession, but he says they bear no fruit. So what is a branch of a vine that has leaves and that bears no fruit? That is something that is beautiful to the eyes of men when you see that vine and you see all those leaves on that vine. That is what makes that vine look beautiful. But there is no use of that branch unto the husbandman. That is nothing for him but show, as it were. It is useless to him. We read in God's word of those that make a fair show in the flesh. that is not pleasing unto the Lord. He says there is no fruit, there is no profit in that for me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he says, all of those branches my Father taketh away. Finally, he says, those branches will be cut off. They are given an opportunity for a certain amount of time, and then eventually those branches will be taken off by my Father. And when they are taken off, then they are going to die. They're never going to wither. And we read later here, and they are going to be cast into the fire. And those branches are going to be burned. At one time, they were part. They were united. They were called a branch, he says, in me. Just like the other branches. And now, taken away. A branch in me outwardly that was to me without use. Thus, present privileges. That is not an indication of a future blessing. We must be careful that we take nothing for granted because the outward profession, that is not inward grace. How many of us now? How many of us are such a branch? Will we reflect on that? Such a branch that you say is going to be taken away. When we were at one time united in an outward way, at one time with the name of Christ, it is upon our foreheads, it is in our mouth, it is in our profession, every branch in me. Will that be a surprise to us? If we are taken away, does that need to be a surprise to us? That does not need to be a surprise. No, we need reflection. If we may have reflection, the Lord may bless and sanctify such a reflection that it will not be a surprise to us. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, no, those he will not take away. Thus, how does he judge the branches? He judges the branches by their fruitfulness. He does not judge the branches by their profession. He does not judge the branches by whether or not that they make an attendance at his table or not. Maybe we do, but he does not. Because it is the fruits, he says, that are for the enjoyment and the good pleasure of that husbandman. And he knows what he is looking for in those fruits because that husbandman knows what is now sweet to his taste. Oh, we know that too with the vine. And we know what we would look for in the vine. Then we are not looking for branches. We are not looking for leaves. We are looking for the enjoyment of the fruits. We read of a publican. We read that he smote upon his breast. The Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. That is now well pleasing unto the Father. That blessed, sincere repentance. No, he was not pleased with the Pharisees, with a false pretense of piety, with bowing the head like a bulrush, when there was nothing but pride that was living in their hearts. No godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is proceeding out of where? Oh, it is proceeding out of the vine. That is where it is coming from. They may not even know it yet, those branches. But that is now the fountain out of which all the fruits that are pleasing unto the Lord are coming from. Because outside of Him, His coming, His work, there had never been a godly tear shed in this whole world. And we have heard we cannot take away, we cannot separate the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is all one work. Thus, that godly sorrow and that tear that is flowing out of the heart of that sinner, that is flowing out of that vine, every branch that beareth fruit. And what did he do? That publican. Well, then we read that he smote upon his breast and he prayed. Do you do that too? Do you do that too? He prayed, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Oh, do you think that the Father was pleased with that prayer? Do you think so? Do you know what he saw in it? He saw his own work. Oh, what the Spirit had done, his own Spirit, to bring a man in that guilt. Do you think the Father was pleased with that fruit? What do we read? We read that man went down to his house justified. And whose work is it to justify? That is the work of the Father. That is the work of the judge. And thus the Lord, he is giving his blessing upon the fruits of his own hands. Oh, he has tasted the sweetness of those grapes that have come off of that branch that is united unto that vine of his only begotten Son. Let us sing 233, 1, 2, and 3. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 2, and 3 of 233. Thank you. every branch that beareth fruit, thus the branches are distinguished by the bearing of fruit. By their fruits we read, ye shall know them. We can see what comes on the outside. We cannot see what the Lord can see, the fruits, where they begin actually on the inside. Love is a fruit. We cannot see the love, we can only see the deeds. They make themselves manifest. The Lord, He sees that love already in itself within. Even when maybe there is no freedom, that a man does not dare to come to take a place at the table of the Lord, and yet, or it can be that that love that is burning in his heart. Peter, he fell once into sin. And when he fell into sin, then we would say on the outside, then it appears to the whole world like he is an apostate. But he has appealed to that knowledge of the Lord that sees into the heart to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And it was true. It was true. And the Lord has owned it of Peter, and he will own it in every one of his time, of his own, in there, and his own time. Obedience. Obedience. That is also a fruit that may be seen on the outside. Where does that begin? That begins on the inside. With that desire to submit, that with that desire to obey. Hope is a fruit. We have spoken about that. But also faith. Faith. You remember the aspects, right, young people? Knowledge, assent, and trust. So you remember Israel, we left them there. They were standing just before that sea. And before that sea, when that enemy is behind them, and there they have nowhere to go. Oh, that cry only goes up unto heaven because they have no strength from themselves. And there we have heard, and the Lord, he has opened a way. Opened a way. And now the people, they agree, they assent. They see that way. The Lord gives them knowledge of that way, and they assent, they agree. That is the way, and the heart begins to go out after it. They go toward it. And now where do they have to go? Where do they have to go? Down. Down. Down in down those banks. And there they go. Into the midst of that sea. What do you think? Do you think that they saw no danger there? They are in the middle of that water. And yet what do? Oh, they go. They go. They cast themselves. They trust. They trust in what? They trust in the promise of the Lord. No, it is not without its dangers. But that is the way that the Lord has opened unto them. And with that agreement now, there comes also a casting of themselves upon that promise of the Lord to depend only upon what the Lord now does say in his word, to rest themselves in that promise, to give themselves up unto his will, that they rely completely upon the grace of God, that they trust in that mercy of God. Every branch that beareth fruit. Oh, how pleasing how pleasing unto the Father. How sweet a fruit is that faith in exercise, is that trust. That trust in His Word. Do you think that was the same for everyone? All those Israelites, they go through. And that water that is all around them. What do you think? Do you think some were afraid? Oh, I think that many were yet afraid. Thus, that trust that was not without its doubts, that is not without its fears, and for one that will be much greater than for another. But now even the least one has gone. He has gone also, just casting himself. There is no other way to go. To go back is death. There is death on the right hand, there is death on the left hand. Where does the Lord have to bring His people? To trust in Him. Did He then care for them? Did He bring them through that sea? We read the waters, they were a wall unto them. A wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Not one of that people have been ashamed of what the Lord could give them to do. Oh, all the great pleasure of the Father, where He may eat of the fruits of His own vineyard, every branch that beareth fruit. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What does that mean? To purge it. Well, that is to take away the shoots that are useless, that are actually hindering the growth, because that growth goes then into those shoots, and it is not going into the production of the fruit. Thus, there are things in the life of God's people that are hindering that fruit bearing, and they need to be pruned. They need to be cut out. Why? That they may bring forth more fruit. That is often achieved by the use of providences by the husbandmen of that vineyard. Job was a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Is that fruit? Oh, that is fruit. Can that be found in our life? Can that be found in our heart? And now the Lord permitted the devil to have access to Job, to take away everything that he had, also his own children. And the result? More fruit. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore I repent, and I abhor myself, and repent in dust and in ashes. He purgeth it. That is painful. That is painful. But He has a reason. More fruit. And the more clipping of that which is not useful, the more fruit. Jacob said, all these things are against me. After or he has borne fruit, or think about Bethel. Think about Peniel. Was there fruit there? Oh, there was fruit. That is the fruit, Jacob, of submission. All these things are against me. If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. That is fruit that is hard to come by. To submit to the will of the Lord in everything. Hard to come by. How does the Lord get it? By purging. Or we agree with the Lord's will as long as he agrees with our will. But now, to just submit. Where is the greatest rest in the life of a man? That is that his own will may be subject unto the will of God. Oh, how agreeable to the Father when his children, they are just like clay in his hands, and that he can mold them. And he can do with them whatever that he will. And that their will that is not fighting his will, that they are no longer kicking against the pricks. But how does it come, that fruit? It comes by purging. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Paul, he says, for this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me that messenger of Satan to buffet him, that thorn in the flesh. The Lord said no. He refused. Why? More fruit. That is what the Lord is seeking in the life of his people. My grace is sufficient for thee. Every day, Paul, just to depend upon me, just to wait for me, just to wait upon me and my strength and my will. He purgeth it. Like Asaph, who was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verily, he says, I've cleansed my hands in vain, and I have washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, he says, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Purged. With afflictions, with trials, with cross providences. Why? To wean him. To wean him from the world. That is now a blessed fruit. The Lord prepares his children continually. He is going to bring them home. He is going to bring them unto himself. That was now the blessed fruit in the life of Asaph. He then says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. More fruit by purging. What does the Lord say? I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. There will be a fruit by the purging of that husbandman of the vineyard. And he will not lop off a branch which has the very least fruit growing upon that branch. when there is only a very, very little, then it will never be cast away. But he will purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Is that a judgment? No. That is a mercy. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Congregation divine. That is not a beautiful plant. Do you ever observe them? You may see them in the wintertime when there are no leaves. You look there at that vineyard. You say, what an ugly thing. That vine. But the fruits, they are very precious. Christ and his church do not appear beautiful in the midst of this world. There is no beauty in him that men should desire him. There is no form. There is no comeliness. And now God's people, God's true people, they are the branches of that vine. They will be despised in the midst of this world. They will be despised often even in the midst of the church. But now that husbandman, he is not laboring for the beauty of that people in this world. But he is laboring for those fruits. And he's going to get them. He is going to receive them. The fruitless branches, they are hanging the highest upon that vine. There is nothing on those branches. There is nothing to weigh those branches down. Do not be jealous of them, young people. Why not? Because soon those branches are going to be cut off. Soon those branches are going to be taken away. The more fruit, the lower those branches hang. And that is all to the delight of this husbandman. And the lower now those branches hang, the closer that it is unto the harvest. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. After that they testify with Jacob, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Oh, that husbandman, he is looking forward. He is waiting for that day that he is now going to receive the reward of all of his labors. And when he is finally going to receive the greatest delight in the fruits of his own vineyard. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give to us to be a branch of that vine, that we also may bring forth fruit that is pleasing to thee. We have been created by thee, for thee, for thy glory, and we have turned it all upside down. And thou hast sent thy dear Son to redeem it, and to make it right again. Oh, give in our hearts a desire that we may cry to thee, that we may be included, and that it may be our portion also to be a branch of thy dear Son, that all that is in him may flow out also unto us, and that we may be pleasing in thy sight when we are seen in him, when we may be able to stand before thee on that last day and that thy name may be glorified by us to all eternity. Wilt thou prevent that all that we have seen and heard this day may be to our condemnation, but give us a profitable reflection in the week that is to come. Help us with our work. Care for each one in their labors. We lay before thee again her that will be placed under the care of the doctors in surgery. Oh, be on her right and on her left. Bring her through. Bless it for Jesus' sake. Amen. 252-5. O Lord, with joy my heart expands before the wonders of thy hands. Great works, Jehovah, thou hast wrought, exceeding deep thy every thought. A foolish man knows not their worth, nor he whose mind is of the earth. 2-5 of 250.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.